Are you there? Are you there? Are you ready?
Amen.
All right, here we go. I'm going to read, about 8 verses for you. Luke chapter 9, 18 through 25. We're going to spread it out a little bit on that. That's what we're going to read. Bible says from the Gospel of St. Luke, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.' 'What about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered, 'The Christ of God.' Now Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life.' And he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny.'" Would you say deny? "He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." And then he asked them this question: "What good is it?" And I want you to think about this. "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, big questions to be answered in our lives, big challenges to overcome. As I was praying this morning, Lord, so many issues, so many problems, Lord, that need to be addressed. Lord, I pray that you would meet us in this place this morning. Lord, that you would give us wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, we have issues in our lives, Lord, holes in our lives that need to be filled. We come to you this morning, Lord, eager expectations that you are able and willing, Lord, to touch each one of us. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, I've been getting some prayer today because I've had migraines. How many of you guys get migraine headaches? How long have you been? You got one right now, right, Kathy? How long you had it?
5 days.
How many of you guys had migraines? How many of you guys ever had a migraine for 5 days? You know, I started getting these new ones. You know, they started lasting longer. I had my first one when I was like 13 years old, 14 years old, and it would come. I get my eyesight all messed up, and I go, "Oh, I'm getting a migraine." And then it would last, I don't know, maybe 6 hours, kind of a little bit messed up the next morning. And then I'd just roll on. I used to take medication. It just seemed to like stretch it out. I said, "I don't want the meds, man. Just take it and get my migraine, get done, you know." And but recently, just over the last 6 months, you know, it's kind of like I get one, and then the next day I get another one. And this last Wednesday, I got one on Wednesday, then I got one on Thursday, and on Friday I was just feeling all messed up. So I called my doctor, and I said, "Hey, I need a little something." I go, "I don't need anything for the pain per se. I can handle the pain. I just want to be able to think. I just want to have clarity in my mind." I said, "I know they got all these new meds out. Can you hook me up with something? I just need a little bit of a fix." Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't mean like a fix to get high. I mean, I need to get fixed. Just fix me. Just fix this thing. And you know what? Nurse called back a couple hours later, and she said, "We got some samples down there. You can come." And I was announcing the football game on Friday night. I'm thinking, man, I really want to be able to think clearly for this. Don't want to be a fool. And took that pill, and I'll tell you what, clear as a bell. Very nice. And Kathy's going, "What is that stuff?" You know, I don't remember what it was called, Kathy. I just took it. I was so messed up when I took it that I couldn't remember it. And then I was well, and I didn't have it anymore. Finding a fix. That's often what we're looking for. I just want to get back to normal. Do you know what I'm talking about, man? I am not feeling good. I just got to get back to feeling normal. The 12, we talked about the 12 apostles had been sent out by Jesus to heal the sick and cast out demons and to preach a message that the kingdom of God was near. Amen? And they went out and they had found, you know, I bet if they came across me and Kathy and somebody had migraine headaches, I bet you they could have healed them. Amen? I mean, because, see, there are fixes that we are looking for in our lives, and some of you might have a little issue going on. We're praying for some jobs, saying, hey, Lord, I need a fix in my life. I need a job. We've been praying for people to get a house. It's like, Lord, I need a fix in my house so I can have a place. I need you to fix this little thing. I need you to get me to normal. I need a little fix. But when you need a new normal, we call that change. Amen. Right? A man born blind, right? And he is able to see, you know, he is not looking to get back to normal. He's looking for a new normal. Amen? Amen. And that we're looking for is a cure or a change. And so many of us, we on the way to a cure, will settle for a fix. And if you settle for just a little fix, you know, just settle for a little pill that's going to get you, you know, get your migraine gone, you'll worry about the bigger issues in your life. What will happen is we settle for a fix and we never find the cure. The title of today's message is Focused on a Fix. And so many of us just jump from fix to fix to fix to fix. But the lame man who is healed and can now walk, he's got some challenges. He's got to carry his own mat now. He's got to get his own food. He's got to get a job. Change can be quite a challenge. A cure, when you get cured, that can be a real challenge because now you don't have the crutch of being sick anymore. Right. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. See, sometimes that sickness that we've got and that challenge we've got, that's our little crutch in life, and it's kind of like losing. I'll tell you what, when you get old, you're going to stay old. I'll tell you what, we've got to just find a new way to deal with old. Right? So we're old. We're going to win tonight. Amen. We're going to see a change tonight. We're not just looking for a little fix. See, Juan Carlos is going to make us young. Yeah, that's a change. You can live your life focused on a fix, or you can press on and you can find a cure. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take a look at this. All right, we're going to roll back to verse 10, which I did not read. When the apostles returned, and he's talking about returning from being sent out and being able to heal the sick and cast out demons and preach the message that the kingdom of God is near. He says, when they returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done, and they had done some big stuff. He said, the Bible says that he took them with them, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed Jesus. And Jesus welcomed them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. The disciples are ready for a day off. They come back from hitting the road for the Lord, from casting out demons, from doing Jesus' work, and they come back and they bring a report on what's going on. And hey, let's go to Bethsaida. We're going to kick back for a few days. Let's debrief. And because there was more stuff about the kingdom of God that they needed to learn. Anybody here need to learn a little bit more about the kingdom of God? Right? You're going through the challenges, going through the opposition that you face. There's more that you need to learn about the kingdom of God. That's why we're in a series called Discovering Jesus, so we can discover more about Jesus. And so Jesus sends them out. They come back. They've done miraculous things, incredible things, and they're going to go kick back in Bethsaida for a minute, and they're going to talk about it. And they're going to get ready for what comes up. But the people, Mark tells us that they were tired. I can imagine that they were tired. And that the crowd saw them getting out of the boats, and they said, hey, there's Jesus, and they ran. Now, Jesus got a quandary, right? He's got an issue. He's going, man, what do I do? I got the crowds coming on. And the Bible says that Jesus did three things. Says that Jesus welcomed them, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. The people came looking for answers. And Jesus, even though he had a little plan for his apostles, if you are genuine and you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and you are looking for some answers, he's got answers for you. Amen? He welcomed them. He didn't say, oh, get away. He said, he welcomed them. And then he told them about the kingdom of God. He said, tell us about the kingdom of God. They had questions. Gave them those answers. You want to know about the kingdom this morning? There are answers that are there for you. And then he healed them. Can you imagine what sick people looked like back in the day? I mean, guess what? They didn't have no little wipes. I'll tell you what, sickness was probably not very, sickness is not really attractive today. But 2,000 years ago, I'm sure that sickness was not very pretty at all. And Jesus healed all those who needed healing. He welcomed them, he spoke to them, and he healed them. I think that'd be a pretty good pattern for us, amen? Because I tell you what, there's some pretty funky-looking folks around this community. And they might come walking in here. And they might not be the most pretty people in town. Amen? And I'm thinking that as they show up, we need to be welcoming to them. Amen? And they might be looking for some truth, and we need to have some answers. And if you don't have answers, you can bring them to me. You can bring them to Pastor Paul. You can bring them to Pastor Scott, Pastor Ramiro, or you might just do a little studying on your own. Right? You might have an answer. Say, this is how it works for me, right? Jesus healed them, and there might be some situations that we are going to touch around here. He welcomed them, he told them the truth, and he healed them. Amen? Amen. Now, you might be saying, whoa, there's all kinds of opportunities for abuse around here. Oh, you bet. In fact, later on, Jesus rebuked some of these same people because all they hung around for was to get some bread. All they hung around for was because they ate their fill. And they didn't care about the miracles. They didn't care about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, hey, I don't got anything for you. Let's not do that on the front end. Amen? Amen. Maybe we let some people coming in that don't look so pretty. Get on in and we'll welcome them. We'll share the truth with them and see what we can do about a little healing. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. All right. So we're going to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to Jesus and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we're in a remote place here. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread. We got our lunch, Jesus. We've got only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go buying food for all this crowd. And about 5,000 men were there. Now, as I look around here, there's more than just men here. Amen? There's women here. And downstairs, there's kids here. And there would have been women and kids in that crowd. Now, in any crowd, there's a bunch of kids normally. Amen? Amen? And when you come to church things, there's usually more women than men. But let's just go straight up. 5,000 men, 5,000 women, 5,000 kids. That's 15,000 people. That's a little bit of a crowd. Amen? Where are we going to get food for all these people, Jesus? He said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. Folks, my mom has, Mom, did you have Thanksgiving last year? How many people? 27. A lot of work. How many of you ladies ever had Thanksgiving for 27 people? Right? Put your hands up. Oh, in the Bugs family, you guys just, okay, what's a normal Thanksgiving in the Bugs family? That 9 brothers and sisters, right?
Right.
Right. All right. So, Thanksgiving, 50? Close to 50, a load? Everybody works, right? All right. So, get a grip. A group of 50, okay? Sit them in groups of 50. My mom's going, oh, we're going to have Thanksgiving in our house. Oh, I don't know, you know. You have 30, 50. There were 300 groups of 50. Each disciple... My mom's going to have 27 last year. It was a chore. Each disciple would have had 25 groups of 50. 1,250 people per disciple. Wow. Oh, please, Jesus, do a miracle. They're serving them basket. Let me keep reading. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Jesus, send them away. This was an understandable response. What do you mean? Were they being stingy? No. Jesus had just sent them out to cast out demons. Now, can you imagine the 12 going out and casting out demons? Would you imagine that that was a little messy? Amen? I mean, the demons just said, oh, you're the apostles. Okay, we'll just go. I don't think so. I got to think there was a little bit of drama going on. Amen? And they're going out and they're doing it over and over and over again, right? So we got some drama. We got some what? Spiritual drama. Now, let's say that you come to the guy who has leprosy. And you say, in the name of Jesus, be cleansed. Do you think that guy is going to be a little bit excited? Amen? Kathy, I say, Kathy, stand and walk in the name of Jesus. And she starts jumping up and down. Is there going to be a little bit of excitement in the house? Amen? All right, so these 12 are going out, casting out demons, healing the sick, healing the lame, causing the blind to see, doing some incredibly dramatic stuff, and there is pandemonium. Put it on 4, bro. Or we just lost part of our light. I'll tell you what. Bro, just turn that light switch on over there. It's okay, Mike. Don't worry about it. It could get worse. There we go. All right, here we go. Okay. On the fly, just handling it. Okay, here we go. So we got all this drama, and Jesus says when he sends them out, he says, don't take a bag, right? Don't take any food on the trip. Why? Because as you miraculously cast out demons and heal the sick, you're just going to say, I could use some bananas, Lord, and bam! No. He said, you are going to hang out with the people that you are ministering to, and they are going to feed you. All the supernatural power that was being released through the apostles, not one bit of it was for their own provision. So, as they see 15,000 people gathered around, are they thinking that Jesus is just going to snap up dinner? No, they just came back from the field seeing that, hey, wait a minute, we got the supernatural power of God for the message, but not for dinner. So they come to Jesus basically applying what they've learned that, hey, we need to find some people to take all these people in, because that's how we were out in the field. And he says, no, I want to teach you something. We're going to do something different. Have them sit in groups of 50. All right, so each apostle has 25 groups of 50, 1,250 people, if my math is correct. And the loaves that they are serving are something similar, something about halfway between an English muffin, which is way too big, and a Triscuit. Now, when you guys have Thanksgiving at the Bugs household, you serve more than Triscuits, right? Can you imagine if you got 50 people, how many Triscuits it's going to take to fill everybody up? That's a grip of Triscuits, amen? And they're serving them on baskets, right? Now, these guys are walking around the countryside. They don't got, elephant-sized baskets they're carrying around. No, man, they're going to have some little baskets. Can you imagine how many trips to one group of 50? One group. Can you imagine standing in line behind 11 other guys who are getting their baskets filled up with Triscuits and fish? Can you imagine how many hours this took? How long would it take you to fill somebody up with Triscuits, and you got to do it to 1,250 people? Can we use some more Triscuits over here, sir? We're a little low on fish. Well, I'll be right over there. 1,250 people. Jesus is teaching them. At the end of that ordeal, they sit. And I got to think they're overwhelmed. I mean, you got the miracle thing happening with Jesus. You got the fish. I got to imagine it probably wasn't smelling real good. If you served fish, it's like a little sardine, okay? A little sardine that would go on top of a Triscuit. And you're serving fish to 1,000, 1,250 people. How might you smell? How might you smell? You think you have scales all over you? And they sit down and they each got their baskets and they're all thinking, oh, they're thinking, whoa. And they got, we got all this food, right? You know what I'm thinking? I think they're wondering about breakfast. Oh, we got to do breakfast. See, and that's the thing about fixes in our lives. That was a fix, man. Because those people are going to be hungry. I don't know, at breakfast anyway, right? The next morning, they're going, hey, got any more of that fish? I could use some eggs on the side. All four Gospels got an account of this story. It was momentous time. It talked about, it displayed how God is able to, with supernatural power, to invade the natural with something as mundane as a sandwich for 15,000 people. Incredible. If you stop at the fix, you'll never find the cure. I think these disciples are going, what happens next? Because something more has got to happen than just this. Talking about fixes, Mike, is Eva teaching?
Yeah.
Nah, I asked her permission. She said I could share. Mike and Eva are going to have a little moving party tomorrow, and we could use your help. They have had a tumultuous year. They were married on July 22nd, if I recall correctly, and this is their second year with us. This year is going much better than the first year. Amen? Because about this time, it's October, about October of last year, the drama of their lives, the challenge of their lives was overwhelming them, and they were going back down. But this year, this January, there was a brand new focus, a focus for a cure. Amen? Said, we're not going to deal with that. Now, they came, and at one point, they were almost homeless. In fact, they were looking at homelessness about two days away, and we're homeless tomorrow. And they're saying, Lord, what? We need a fix, right? And the Lord hooked them up with a little, I don't know how many, 400 square foot little studio place. Not much of a place, but when you're looking at homelessness, it's better than nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Mike had no way to pay the rent. He's saying, I need a job. I need a fix. Amen, Lord. I need you to fix this situation. I need a job. Now he works with Sharon, and he works with Larry. Not this Larry, different Larry. And so he's got a job, and there's a fix, and things are going pretty well. And then they get an eviction notice, and they're paying their rent. The problem is the person that they're paying the rent to is not paying the rent. Now, why do I share that with you? Because tomorrow they're moving into a little one-bedroom place over in North Park off of Iowa, right? Right off of Iowa and University. It's got a one-bedroom with a dining room and a living room and a garage. And Mike called me up so proud. And he told me about his place. And I said, are you feeling grown up now? Because last year he would have been getting high. When you're moving from fix to fix to fix to fix, sometimes you don't learn anything. But in the midst of their fixes, they got a grip on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have moved from the fix to the cure. And he's like, yeah, man. He goes, and he says, I want to get a moving truck. It's like, no. Hey, let's not go too far, man. I'll get a trailer, man. We'll get this thing done cheap. But hey, they got a studio. It will literally take us 15 minutes to load this thing up. I'm working on the trailer. We'll do it right after the food distribution. So guys, come tomorrow. We'll move them in a minute and see God's goodness. Amen?
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 Amen.
Right now, I just want to pray. I know some of you guys are looking for a place. Who's looking for a place? Who's looking for a place? Put your hand up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, for Juan Carlos and Yuseli, Lord, as they are looking for that place, Lord, that as you made that provision for Mike and Eva, Lord, that you just continue, Lord, to guide them. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Here we go. There we go. Let's move this on. All right. That was the biggest point. We're going to go quicker now. Are we okay? Are we okay?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody's smiling. You've got to treat me nice. My mom's here. All right. Moving in the right direction. Moving in the right direction. All right. This is what we read. Once when Jesus was praying in private with his disciples, he's not with the crowd anymore. Now he's with the disciples, eventually become the apostles. And he says to them, who do the crowd say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God, the Messiah, the one we are waiting for. They're moving in the right direction. The people have got a clue that God is getting something done among them. Who do the people say that I am? Some say Elijah. Now, Elijah was a great prophet, man. Called down the fire of God against the prophets of Baal. He was an incredible guy. Largely ignored when he prophesied. John the Baptist out in the desert, in the wilderness, baptizing people. Prepare the way. Prepare your lives for the Messiah to come. Largely ignored. The prophets of old. Jesus said, man, you just give lip service to the prophets of old. You do not listen to the message. So even though they're moving in the right direction, thinking, man, God is doing something here, just like in the old days. They're moving in the right direction, but they're looking for a fix, but they're missing the cure. Amen? I mean, they're going to kill Jesus. I don't want that on my resume. You know, I was one of them that shouted out, Barabbas. I don't want that on my resume. That whole culture, that whole generation would turn their back on Jesus. Who do the people say that I am? Oh, man, they're getting close, but they're not close enough. See, your fix will only get you so close. And if you start being satisfied with your little fix, you're going to miss out on the cure. You've got to move past the fix to find the cure. Amen? He says, what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? And he's talking to the group. He didn't say, you, Peter, who do you say that I am? You know, it's kind of like in the South, they say, who do y'all say that I am? Right? And Peter speaks to them and says, you are the Christ of God. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one that we have been waiting for. Let's continue on. And this can be confusing. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. You would think he said, hey, let's all get Messiah tattoos. You know? Big old Jesus on my neck. Yeah, that's going to be it. We're going to roll for the Lord. And he says, no, don't tell anybody. Right? He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. And Jesus said, let me tell you some truth about the kingdom. Number one, we're not going to tell anybody about the Messiah. And you're wondering, why not? Well, because everybody was waiting on the Messiah. Everybody was talking. I'm older than Alex, older than Juan Carlos. But how many of you remember the Omen movies back in, what is that, the 70s? That's it, me and Richard? Not even you, Mike? Really? Oh, man, people used to talk about the ant. Oh, there we go. I see that, Linda. All right. Back in the day, man, I mean, you had like the Antichrist this and the 666. And all. I mean, it was a thing. It was a thing. People were talking about it and studying, all kinds of Bible studies going on about it. Today, you know, we got this 12th IMAM, right? How many of you ever heard of the 12th IMAM? Me and Larry? Dale? Well, it's the radical Muslims are waiting for this 12th IMAM who's going to come in the midst of total chaos. And that's why the Iranians are trying so hard to get the atomic weapon so that they can blow up Israel, create all this commotion. And in the midst of all that commotion, the 12th IMAM is going to come and is going to usher in this worldwide caliphate, basically a worldwide Muslim world. And so there's all this, I mean, if you're into this, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people are talking about this. And see, Larry knows about it. Yes, Larry, about it. He'll tell you all about it. And so back in the day, you know, Jesus said, no, don't bring up the Messiah thing, because we'll spend all of our time talking about this part of the Messiah and this part of the Messiah and this and this and this. We're getting a great big, I mean, we've already got the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming against us already. We don't need all this extra pressure. He says, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the message of the kingdom of God. Okay? Do you understand that? He says, we're going to put all this stuff on the side, and I'm going to be the Messiah rather than worried about proving that I'm the Messiah. Okay? Okay? Because I don't want all the drama. I want to be able to go about and do what I'm going to do, because what I'm going to do is some hard stuff. And he says, what I'm going to do, he's going to say, I'm going to be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And what he is talking about now, he is talking about the miracle of the crucifixion. The event that is going to change all of time. That is going to change the history of the planet. Paul gave us a clear picture of it. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And Jesus is telling his apostles what is going to happen, and they have got a clue about who he is, but they have no clue about what he is going to do. I mean, he says, Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They are going to crucify him, and on the third day, he's going to be raised from the dead. Woo! Right over the head. Wow. Who do you say that I am? Oh, you're the Christ of God. They knew, they had an inkling of who he was, but they had no clue about what he was going to do. Let me try and make this clear. Lisa was driving Leanne's car. Joe and I put a new head on it in July. She'd been driving around with the strict understanding that she is going to baby that car, that she's going to be taking such good care of that car, just shine. She shines it and all that kind of stuff. And so Lisa said, the oil's a little low. So I said, okay, I got some oil in the garage. And I go out with Leanne, right? Baby in this car, shining this car, loving this car. And I said, okay, Liam, we're going to put some oil in there. She's like, okay. She gets in, I kid you not, she gets in the driver's seat and says, how do I put the hood up? This is the girl who's been babying this car. Checking the oil, checking the water, checking the transmission fluid. Since July, August, September, October, she doesn't even know how to put the hood up, folks. How much care has she been given this car? See, she's got all kinds of thoughts about what caring for the car is, but no capacity to do it. And so these apostles think they know who Jesus is, but they got no clue about what he's going to do. You see the parallel there? And so that's why we're in this series called Discovering Jesus, because you can have a great understanding of who Jesus is, but there's always a lot more to understand. Amen? And so often it's because we're just looking for a little fix of what we got going on right now. We get a fix and we stop. Jesus is going, don't stop. We got a long way to go. Amen? All right. He said to them all right, uphill, folks. Lessons continue. If anyone would come after me, he's talking to the disciples, right? You think they're planning on following Jesus? Amen? Let me ask that again. He's talking to the disciples. Do you think they're planning on following him?
Yes.
Yeah, so all of them are saying, he says, if anyone would come after me, oh, we're planning on coming after you. Then he says, all right, for you guys, for you all, you must deny yourselves and take up your cross daily and follow me. Wow, that gets kind of personal right away, doesn't it? Me? Yeah, Judas, you. Judas is thinking what? I got other plan. I got a whole other thing I'm going to try and work out. And he starts working. If anybody's going to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. And he asks this question, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Jesus has a message for the disciples. Kingdom of God is about more than a fix. He says, you know what? You can spend your whole lives trying to fix your problem. You can spend all your days trying to fix the little issues in your life. You know people like that? Maybe you've done that before. I got this to do and this to do to this do. One fix to the next fix to the next fix. I got to fix this little part and then I'll be good. But the problem is you never are good. You're never moving to a cure. Just give me that migraine, headache. There's something going on inside my brain. Heaven will cure it. Amen? I'm fine for having to cure it. Lisa wants me to get cured first. You know, it's like, who's gonna take care of us? Like, well, I'll be in heaven. She goes, I know. See, Jesus is trying to move us past just making fixes in our lives and finding a cure. He says to his disciples, what you need is change. What you need is a transformation in your life. He says, what you need, this is so radical, you need to take your old life and you need to trade it in. You need to take that old life and give it to me. And he says, I'll give you a new one. It's like, I'll take this. There you go. That's how much of a transformation God has for your life. He says, you give me your life, I give you my life. He says, you try and shine your old life up. You try and fix every little thing wrong with it, buff it, wax it, clean it. You're going to lose it in the end. And in fact, not only will you lose your life, you'll lose your soul. He says, we're talking about the kingdom of God, folks. And it's real close. Closer than you ever imagined. And the writer of the Bible says that our lives are but like a wisp or like a smoke or a vapor. Here in an instant and gone. 10,000 years are gone, right? Just going to seem like a moment in time. Kingdom of God is so close. There are some who can't get past the fixes in life. They choose poorly. They can win all along the way. Donald Trump has been in the news of late. I got no clue if the man's a Christian or not. There's a man with all kinds of wealth. You could shoot for that kind of wealth and you could spend your eternity in hell. What good is it if a man would gain the whole world and lose your soul? Last thing we're going to talk about. In the end, there's reward. I've been talking that a little bit. Lately, if we discover who Jesus is and you put your life with him, you will experience reward in the end. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. Can you imagine Judgment Day and Jesus being ashamed of you? It's like, oh, don't even come up. Can you imagine Jesus being ashamed of you on Judgment Day? That is a scary thought to me, folks. He says, when he comes in the glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels, can you imagine the picture, the glory of God shining around Jesus and him not wanting you in his presence? He says, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Matthew tells it to us. He says, Jesus talking, Matthew records words of Jesus. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father. He'll say, Andy, come here. Let me just show you to my dad. Come on up here. He goes, let me introduce you to my dad. Bam, this is Andy. Right? Thank you, Andy. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I'm going to acknowledge him before my dad. And he says, whoever disowns me before men, I don't know that Jesus. I don't care about that Jesus. Died on the cross, betrayed to the hands of men. I was just looking for a little fix. And I got one. And that was all I needed from Jesus. I didn't need a cure. I didn't need a change. I didn't need a transformation. I just needed a fix. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Where are you at today? What do you need today? Lisa, you want to come up and play? Because some of you are here, and you have just moved from fix to fix to fix to fix. And that's enough. Saying, oh, I just want this little thing fixed. I just want that pill for my migraine. I just want this little issue for this relationship. I just want this little bit of money to get through. And he says, if you try and just go through your life making fix after fix after fix, you're going to lose it all. Even your soul. And maybe right now the Lord is speaking to your heart and he's saying, I've got more. But you've never asked me for more. You've never trusted me for more. You've never believed me for more. But I hung on a cross so that you could have more than a fix, that you could have a transformation in your life. Don't settle for a fix when you can find the cure. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and there are those that are here this morning, Lord, like these lights busted, not working right, not looking right. Came in looking for a fix, looking for some rent, looking for a car, looking for a relationship, looking for a fix to a relationship. And this morning you come to them and you say, I'll offer you a change, transformation. I'll come to you and I'll exchange your life for mine. You'll be able to stand and proclaim me to the people around you and saying, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus gave his all for me, and now I give my all for him. I have been transformed. You're sitting here this morning, you're going, oh, that's it. I've been trying to fix what can't be fixed. I just need to trade it in on a new one. I need to find a change. The Lord Jesus is speaking to your heart this morning. You're saying, my son, my daughter, I got something new for you. Are you ready to make a change? And nobody looking around this morning, maybe you didn't come in hoping for this, but it's becoming clear. Find me this morning, Lord. Here I am. You called me all morning. You've been speaking to me all day through the music, through the word. Lord, I want that bargain that you are offering me from heaven, Lord. The bargain that you hung on the cross to give me today as you passed out all that bread. I'll take new life today, Lord. I'll give you my old one. With no one looking around this morning, and Jesus speaking right to your heart, he's saying, I have something new for you. Nobody looking around, you're saying, Lord, I'll take that deal. I want new life in you. I want to quit trying to fix my old one. I'll just trade it in. Give me an upgrade, Lord. I want the full cure. I want the full change. Nobody looking around. You just say, Lord, here I am. Slide your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Right there, yes. And right back here and right here, yes. There and there. Here, here. Anybody else? Maybe in the cry room, say, here I am. Saw your hand, you can put it down. Yeah, over here, I see it. I see it. You can put your hand down. You're here and you put your hand up. You're shaking. Lord, saying, this is for you. Don't miss it. That was me 20 years ago. Pastor said, I'll come back. I'll give you one more shot. Oh, I don't want to miss that shot. You did not put your hand up. The Lord is all over you. You say, I'll make that change. That you just slide your hand up. Didn't put it up before. See that back there? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, for each person here, Lord, just have a desire to stop just nitpicking and settling for an easy fix, Lord. Lord, we want transformation. We want brand new life in you. We want fullness, Lord, that you would meet us here tonight, Lord, today, Lord. Lord, you would give us that new life. We come, Lord, we bring you, Lord, just as this is the little old little sandwiches made out of fish and bread that were just being passed out, Lord. We want that new living water and that new bread, Lord, that comes from heaven, Lord. That you would transform us to be shining examples of your plan for our lives. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, his 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 name.